There's a false caricature I think a lot of people have of Christianity. And when they think of Christianity, what they think of is that it's just a bunch of restrictive set of rules. You know, you have to follow all these rules about things that you're not allowed to do. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't do this. Do this. It's just a list of things to do and not to do. And a lot of people think that that interferes with our happiness. Like, we could be really have a really good time if we violated some of these rules, but church tells us not to. So, and then I think some people also have a negative view because they grew up getting dragged against their will to church every Sunday. And I don't think that's any of our young people in the church today, but I know there's some out there who don't want to go to Mass, and their parents just say, you're going to Mass whether you want to or not. And so they grow up with this image of Mass being something they don't want to do. And then as adults, they leave. And they were never given or never understood why they should come to Mass. And so they have a negative impression of our faith. But if we look at what our faith is in reality, it's the opposite of that. You know, our faith does not interfere with our happiness. It's not something that's boring or just a task that we have to do every Sunday. Christ says, and this is from the Gospel of John, he said, I came that they might have life and have it to the full. Our faith gives us life. Christ is the ultimate liberating force for our lives to free us from the things that really bring us unhappiness and despair, the things that destroy our lives and ruin our relationships with God and with others, the things that drive us to despair. He came to liberate us from those things so that we could have life and have it to the full. We attain our greatest happiness when we follow Christ. Christ enables us to find what we were created for, to have life and to have it to the full. We see this happen in today's gospel with Bartimaeus. We have this blind man who's begging, and there's a lot that we can read in between the lines in this gospel account, because he's just sitting there on the ground and he's crying out, you know, Son of David, have pity on me. It's like, why is he on the ground? His legs aren't broken. He's blind. He can walk. But he's just sitting there on the ground. You get this sense that he's not only physically blind, but he's dejected. There's something spiritually wrong with this situation as he's just sitting on the ground crying out for pity. And then when Christ calls him, it says he springs up and he runs to Christ. And Christ says, what do you want? He says, I want to see. And then Christ not only restores his sight, but there's a deeper healing that goes on. There's some deep transformation within Bartimaeus at this moment where he's transformed into this blind man just sitting on the ground crying out for pity. And suddenly he's rejuvenated spiritually. And Christ says to him, he gives him his sight, and he says, go your way. And what way does Bartimaeus choose? He then follows Christ. There's this radical transformation in his life at that very moment. The first thing that he sees is the face of Christ. And then his life is transformed and he follows him and he becomes his disciple. There's this tremendous transformation. But what we see is a little microcosm here. Bartimaeus was in despair. He was crying out for pity. And then all of a sudden his life is renewed. Christ said, I came that they might have life and have it to the full. Now, I think that this gospel message, you know, there's a lot of symbolism in this story. And it's not just a historical account. It's meant for us. That's why it's in the gospel. And I think that it's important for us because there is a spiritual darkness that's spreading through our nation. And it's more pronounced among the younger generations, although it's spread across all the generations. Just like we see Bartimaeus just on the ground crying for pity, there's a sense of darkness that's within him. There is a spiritual darkness that's spreading through our nation. And there's a lot of different causes to this. in a lot of ways that it's manifesting itself, but I just want to focus on one today, just in the interest of time. And it relates to the destruction of the family unit and the effects that that's having on our young people as they grow up. You know, a lot of us, we hear the statistics about the breakdown of the family, but it's ultimately rooted in a breakdown of faith and a rejection of the virtues and the morality that Christ teaches us. It's a rejection of obedience to his law. It's the effect of a society that places sexual liberation and reproductive rights higher than God's law. What do we see as the effects? Well, 56% of families are what they define as non-traditional. 5% of our kids grow up with neither of their parents. 5%. 34% grow up with only one of their parents. And then 15% of our young people grow up with their parents going through one or two divorces. One or two of them are divorced and remarried. So 56% of our families fall into those categories. What does that mean for our young people? And to understand the younger generation in this society, I think we have to put ourselves in their place and understand what they're going through. Our young people are growing up without fathers. Meaning our young men, our boys, are growing up wondering why one of their parents abandoned them. What is wrong with them that they caused this? A lot of them blame it on themselves and they wonder, what is wrong with me? Why does my parent not love me to the point where I can see that other people have two parents and I don't? Why did my parent abandon me? What's wrong with me? They grow up with a deep sense of insecurity and of abandonment, which can have tremendous psychological impact as they grow up. Our young men grow up without anyone to teach them how to play catch. You know, no one there to take them camping. No one there to show them how to shave as they grow up or how to become a man. No one there to treat them or to teach them the proper way to treat a woman. They grow up without fathers. And our young women grow up without a father who's in their lives and loving them. And they grow up with this starved sense of affection, which as they grow up manifests itself in different ways a lot of times in sexual promiscuity. They're looking for love and affection that they never had growing up. They always desired it, and they look for it in relationships that'll never bring them the fulfillment that they're seeking. When we really start to look at the effect that the breakdown of the family has on our young people, it's devastating. You know, young people who live with cohabiting parents, they wake up every morning wondering if they're still going to be there. Are my parents still going to be there tomorrow? There's no commitment. They've never made a promise to stay together. And there's a deep uncertainty in knowing that their parents could leave them at any point in time because their parents are unwilling to make any commitment of love. And then we have our young people who grow up living through a divorce. They come home one day and their world as they know it is shattered because the most fundamental relationship in their lives, the love between their mother and father, is suddenly ripped from them. And what should be the symbol of authentic love and the permanent thing that the environment that they grow up in is suddenly ripped away from them and their whole world is shattered. And they're left with insecurity growing up. Many of them are never able to trust another person. And when they approach marriage themselves, they're not willing to make a commitment to be faithful to the person because they've experienced broken love in their lives. This is when we talk about the breakdown of the family, you can look at it as statistics, but when you really look at what's going on, our young people are growing up broken in a shattered world. And to understand why they're reaching out in unhealthy ways, we have to understand the pain that's in their hearts. And it's caused by the breakdown of the family and the rejection of God in our lives. And how do we respond as a society? We pass out contraception to our young people in school. and say, here you go, find a nice loving relationship. And they end up broken even more because they're searching for permanent love that they're starved for, and it doesn't happen that way. How else do we respond? We respond to the pain in our society by inviting a drug cartel into Ohio to legalize pot. Okay, that'll take care of the problem. Good solution. We'll turn to drugs to solve the problem of darkness. I don't know who thought that one up, but good job. Or we can turn, as Bartimaeus did, to Christ. We can look at the face of Christ as Bartimaeus did. Bartimaeus was transformed physically and spiritually in an instant by Jesus Christ. And when we find Christ, when our young people who are broken and starving for love, when they look at Christ and they see him for the first time, they see a person who is absolutely faithful. Somebody who will always love them, no matter what they've done or how many mistakes they've made. They find someone who will never abandon them. They find the love that they're starved for in the depths of their heart. Christ teaches us what true and authentic love is. And when we encounter him, he makes us whole. The wounds that we carry within us, the wounds of betrayal, the wounds of rejection, he heals those. Because he is the most fundamental relationship at the base of our soul. And when that locks into place, when we find the love of Christ, every other relationship finds its proper place. And we're made whole. But if we don't find Christ, if we don't find the deepest and most fundamental relationship of authentic love, then all of our other relationships are going to be disordered. There's going to be levels of dependency or disorder that comes into the relationship. So the solution, what our society needs, is real and authentic love which can heal us, and we find that in Christ. The faith is not just something that we do every Sunday, or it's not this boring or oppressive set of rules. It's an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ, who's the only person who can save us and can heal us, and can heal the darkness that's spreading through our society. As we look around in this church today, the attendance here at St. Patrick Church and St. Mary of the Woods is on a steady decline. The fate of Logan County rests here at St. Patrick Church and St. Mary of the Woods. If our attendance continues to decline, Logan County will be lost. The darkness will spread and people will perish. If we see the attendance explode and this church is packed to the brim, then Logan County will be saved. The fate of the future of our county rests right here at St. Patrick Church and at St. Mary of the Woods. And the fate, the future of the United States rests with the Catholic Church. That's simply the way it is. If we turn to Christ and we find the one who can heal us, we will be saved. If we continue on our present path, we'll continue on the path to destruction. But I think what we're seeing is the true cost, right now, we're beginning to see the true cost of a rejection of God in our society. And so we have a choice. We can turn back to Christ and embrace the faith, and in order to do that, we have to embrace the faith in its fullness. We can't pick and choose or come to it with preconditions, but come before Christ and make a commitment to give ourselves fully to a relationship of love. And then we will have life and have it to the full. Or we reject God and go our separate way. But as the darkness grows, the light shines all the more brightly. And as our society spirals into darkness and despair, what Christ gives us should be all the more evident. And people who have fallen into darkness should see the light more radiantly. So I think it's today gives us a challenge to analyze our approach to the faith. Have we found Christ? Have we found the life-giving relationship that Bartimaeus found? And are we willing to bring that to others? Because we live in a society where we desperately need to turn back to Christ, because only Christ can save us.